Hello, West Liberty. This is Jamie, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, for our academic affairs series, I'm here with Dr. Felipe Rojas, assistant professor of Spanish here at West Liberty University. To kick things off, we're going to discuss the importance of learning another language and what it's like teaching one. So how are you doing today, first of all?
I'm doing quite well. A little tired, but I'm doing well.
That's good. How many classes do you teach, like, overall?
Normally, every semester I teach at least 4 classes, going from intro Spanish to upper-level Spanish classes. And sometimes I have to teach a 5th or 6th, depending on whether or not my students in my minor are able to make those times, or if they want special sort of conversation classes with me. So normally 4 classes. Going from, for example, this semester, I'm teaching 2 intro classes, 1 intermediate, and then a literature class.
What kinds of classes do Spanish students usually take?
Here at West Liberty, students normally take grammar classes and some conversation and composition classes. My goal for the Spanish minor here at West Liberty is for students to be able to go out there and have a good enough conversation, depending on the level that they take, with somebody were they to go to a Spanish-speaking country.
How many students are studying Spanish here?
Right now I have around 10 minors, and since Spanish is one of the gen ed classes, my Spanish 101s are pretty full, and then it trickled down a little bit as the level goes up.
I know you mentioned you can take it as a minor. Can you take Spanish as a major here?
Unfortunately, you cannot take Spanish as a major. I am the only Spanish professor, and I have a big belief that for a major to be successful, you want a lot of different kinds of teaching styles that may be different than mine to expose students to that. So here at West Liberty, we have a very successful minor.
What kind of, what entails, like, in a minor for Spanish?
So in order to get a minor in Spanish, you have to start at the 200 level, so the intermediate Spanish. You have to take Spanish 201 and 202, which are the intermediate levels. After that, normally students take any upper 3 or 9 credit hours of 200 and above Spanish classes. So most students take 301 and 302, which is a conversation and composition class. And in order for students to speak, because I really like to focus on speaking in my classes, they watch a movie, and then we kind of discuss that movie based on a textbook that we use. And the topics vary from love, poverty, politics, sexuality, gender, race, and all those bigger, heavier topics, where I want the students to be able to express their opinions in a different language. Doesn't always have to be successfully, but to have that language ability to discuss their opinions, which is a good way for them, when they go to a Spanish-speaking country, to be able to have more than just a hi, how are you kind of conversation.
Whenever students first come into an intro level class, do they usually know any Spanish beforehand?
So technically you're not supposed to. Some students do have taken a year or so of Spanish. And what I would recommend then is to maybe start at the 102 level. But a lot of students get really scared because they believe that language in a university setting is significantly more difficult, which is not. I think that sometimes we as adults fear messing up, So because we don't have the vocabulary, and I always have to remind students that it took a very long time for them to learn how to speak English. It's going to take a lot of practice for them to learn how to speak Spanish. They at least have the skills. They know ideally what a verb, adjective, adverb are in language. And it's just a matter of using a different, using Spanish in order for them to express themselves. And at the end of the day, even if their sentence structure is difficult or incorrect, people are still able to understand them. And that's the point that I try to make in my Spanish 101 class. It doesn't matter to me if you mispronounce a word, as long as it's close enough that someone, what in language pedagogy we call a sympathetic listener, is able to, if they are able to understand you, then that's what the goal is for the Spanish 101 class.
How important do you think it is for students to learn another language, especially Spanish?
Well, especially here in the States, I think it's extremely important. I know that I have to say that as a Spanish professor, but if you look at just the statistics, I think in the U.S. itself, there's a 13% of the population is Spanish speaking or of Spanish heritage. What students sometimes forget and what they don't look up is the fact that you as a student who's eventually trying to look for a job can use your bilingualism as a tool to get more money out of your starting job. There's a statistic out there that I believe says you can get anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 more, depending on the job, of course, if you're able to speak Spanish. People in nursing, people in the medical field, because Spanish-speaking people get sick. And if you're able to communicate with them and understand what hurts or what doesn't hurt or what's wrong, then you're able, then you have something that others don't. And unfortunately, here in the States, sometimes we're just so scared about learning a new language because we're going to mess up that we forget that those people that come and don't speak the English language, they themselves have those same fears. So if we can find a middle ground, it's great. And financially, it just makes complete sense to take Spanish.
What would you suggest for someone who wants to learn Spanish but isn't able to fit a Spanish class here into their schedule?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question because I feel like the apps that are out there are very useful, but I don't know whether or not they can successfully force you to learn a language without practicing. You could try Duolingo, you can try. It's just really difficult. My suggestion would likely be for come and talk to me, and we can try to find a program during the summer or even during the winter break for you to be able to go somewhere, Mexico, Spain, Peru, and take some time, two, 3 weeks, and go to that country and learn the language there. It may sound daunting, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, honestly, this makes me kind of want to pick up a Spanish class in the future. All right, we're going to take a little break, and after that, we'll get right back into our academic affairs program with questions for Dr. Rojas about his experiences as the faculty advisor for the Pride Club here at WestLib. Make sure to stay tuned in to hear all about it. This is Jamie, and you are listening to WGLZ. My dog always gets picked on for the way he sounds, but even when he feels he needs to be silent, there's always one place he won't have to be. In the humble town of West Liberty, at its very own radio station, he can be just as vocal as he wants. This is WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Hello, West Liberty. This is Jamie, and you are listening to WGLZ. We're going to get back into our academic affairs program with Dr. Felipe Rojas. Before our break, we talked about Spanish classes, and now we're going to get into Dr. Rojas' experiences as the faculty advisor for the Pride Club. How long has the Pride Club been around?
So I believe the Pride Club's been around for at least 7 years. I've been at West Liberty for 7 years, and I believe that the first time, my first year here at West Liberty, the students threw a drag show at the theater. So I believe it's been more than 7 years.
Nice. How did you end up becoming the club's advisor?
Well, I'm also the co-chair of the diversity committee, and I've been working with the Pride Club since becoming co-chair, which would be around 4 to 5 years ago. So through some grants that we wrote and received from West Virginia Higher Education, we were able to fund a couple of the events for the Pride Club and other initiatives. So I was able to help them out. I started contacting them and getting them to create events that we could help coordinate. But I've been the advisor of the Pride Club for just less than 4 months.
What are the duties of a club advisor?
There's not that many, to be honest. I have to sign documents whenever the Pride Club asks the SGA for money. They can come talk to me if they have an idea of an event but are unsure if it's a good idea or not. I believe that I'm a little bit more proactive, guiding them through events or ideas. I try to let them do their own thing and be able to create events that they want to do instead of me giving them ideas of things that they may not want to do, which at times aren't as successful as the ones that students really want and have a passion to create.
Has there been any struggles with the Pride Club?
So as a faculty advisor, I don't hear too much about the struggle or the inner struggle within the Pride Club themselves. I think from the outside looking in, I see that the leadership has been there. I just wish that other students would also step up and help out in thinking of events, creating events, organizing events, and showing up. I understand that students have a lot of work, a lot of commitments, because some of you take more than the designated number of credit hours, which as a former student myself, I think it's wild to see how many courses you all are taking a semester. So I understand that. But these are sort of skills, creating events, creating ideas, team working skills that I think are worth of honing before you go into the workforce where you will be forced to do that. Mm-hmm. So working with other people in a collaborative way, I think it would be great. So I wish that the other members of the Pride Club would choose an event and just take over and create something that they can be proud of.
Yeah. What is your favorite part about being the club advisor?
I like listening to the ideas that everyone has, and I really like giving them positive reinforcement and seeing these teenagers, older teenagers, 19, 18, 19, and then 20, 21-year-olds being able to become leaders and seeing how they're able to be organized individuals and see the growth in them as adults. That's really rewarding to see.
Mm-hmm. We had drag bingo here last night in the
union. We did, and I'm very tired.
Yeah, me too. Do you think the club did a good job with it?
Yes, of course they did. Drag bingo is one of the most anticipated events every year here on campus. It's become a staple of the fall semester. with the new leadership, they were very proactive in putting together the event. We had over 170 students show up, which is a really good number for our student population. I was talking to Kate Billings, and she said that she hadn't seen some of the groups that showed up at other events before, so she was really happy about that. The performers were amazing. The prizes were great. The students really enjoyed themselves, and I think it's an event that continues to grow every year on campus.
Especially this year where we had student performers. It was really, really good.
Yes, that was a great addition to Drag Queen Bingo, allowing students to express themselves in the art form of drag. And it takes a lot of guts to do that, especially in front of your peers.
Yeah.
And I thought that all the performers did an amazing job.
Yeah, me too. What do you hope to see for the club going forward?
Honestly, whatever they want. as long as we're able to support them and it doesn't cost an outrageous amount of money, I am here to listen to ideas and see if I can find any way for them to make them true. I would love, not only as an educator, but as what I like to call myself, a world citizen, I strive to encourage my students to get out of their little bubble that is West Liberty or West Virginia. Yesterday we discussed perhaps going to New York and doing a tour of queer New York or queer history of the U.S. where you would see Stonewall and these other very important historic sites that are found in New York, and learning a little bit more about our own history. But that's only if the students want to do that. So whatever they want to do, I'm here to support, and whatever ideas that students may have. I believe that the Pride Club's email is WLUPrideClub@gmail.com. So they could email the Pride Club with their ideas, or just contact me, and I can put them into contact with the Pride Club.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the air with me today.
Thank you. This was great.
Yeah, thank you. This was for the Academic Affairs program, and it was a pleasure learning more about the Spanish department and also what it's like being the Pride Club's advisor, especially since I'm part of the Pride Club myself. Let's go ahead and get back to the music. You are listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM.